Amen. This morning, I'm going to talk with you on a subject that is no longer taught in today's church. Not some churches, yes. When I say the church, I'm talking about the church corporately, okay? But the message this morning, as I started thinking about it and praying about it, we're going to talk this morning about something that I don't know what God is doing, but he's doing something. Maybe he's just doing something in me. I don't know, but I believe he's doing, wants to do something in all of us. Amen? Amen. So this morning, as I talk with you on the fear of the Lord, you know, I'm going to ask you some questions. And as before I ask you those questions, I want you to, as I start out, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures before I even get into my sermon. And I want you to write them down or make sure you have the app. And I want you to ponder them and study them and pray over them, because that's what I did. Now, how many sermons, don't raise your hand, but how many sermons have you really heard in the 21st century church on the fear of the Lord? Now, sometimes when I visited holiness churches, and I say that with love, years, when I was a young man, they talked about the fear of the Lord. And about call themselves even God-fearing people. We don't hear that expression. It's almost obsolete today, isn't it? Yes. And so when we think about how many sermons, I haven't heard any. And you say, well, the fear of the Lord, Bill, is that dread? Is that terror? Well, I'll get into that in a moment. But the fear of the Lord is, we were singing about it, weren't we? And you know what's amazing is Jesse didn't know what I was teaching, and I was back there worshiping going, Lord, you talk about the unity of the Spirit, because what we were singing is what I'm teaching about, okay? And so when you think about the fear of the Lord, the majesty of God, the awesomeness of God, the holiness of God, oh, the reverence of God. Did you know Dr. David Jeremiah? I just read this last night. He said there's over 300 references to the fear of God in the Old Testament. Over 300, he said. Now, question, have you ever heard a sermon? Have you ever read a book on or about the fear of God? Have you ever personally done a Bible study yourself just on the fear of the Lord? Now, the typical Christian, they've heard many, many sermons, all of us, on the love of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, and the comfort of God. All, great, and they're needed, of course. But man, not very few have heard the fear of the Lord. May I give you many scriptures, and I'm going to read them. This is going to be a different type of Sunday where you're not going to be able to follow along. But let me just give you some scriptures this morning. How about this one about the fear of the Lord? Psalm 37:4, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who what? Fear him. Isn't it funny how we leave that out? And we can say, boy, the angels of God, they surround the righteous. But we leave out those here that where it says fear of the Lord. And then and God in his word, he says, and we deliver you. I deliver you. Psalm 34:9. Oh, fear the Lord, all you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 103:13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs your days. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it abides in satisfaction and will not be visited with evil. Listen to me now. The more a person, the more a believer knows him, the more you begin to fear him. Amen? Ecclesiastes 8:12, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet Solomon says, I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. Ecclesiastes 8:13. Let us hear, Solomon says, the conclusion of the entire matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. And then King David, listen to his prayer from Psalm 86:11. Let me read it to you. David in his prayer says this to the Lord. He says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Here it comes. Unite my heart to fear your name. In other words, David is praying, Lord, give me, unite my heart with yours. Give me singleness of heart to fear you, to honor you, to trust you, to obey you, to lift you up. And some of you are going, okay, Bill, what is the fear of the Lord? Here, I'm going to let the Bible give you the definition. Amen. The Holy Spirit penned the Word of God. Is the Bible a good enough definition for what the fear of the Lord is? Amen. Okay, here it is. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord, you know that scripture, is the beginning. The beginning, say that, the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the starting point. It's where you begin in your walk. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and listen to this part, and the knowledge of the Holy One. Meaning the knowledge of the Holy One himself, meaning God, Jesus, the knowledge of God. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what is the fear of the Lord? Loved one, it's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. I don't know about you. I desperately need God's wisdom and knowledge. No, I need it. I need it right now. I need it every day of my life. And listen now, I wonder if it means this, if we don't fear the Lord, maybe that means we don't have his wisdom and understanding. Come on. We're going to be honest in the first service. Amen. Second service, I'm going to put on my Pentecostal clothes. No, and I say, dear Lord, man, how important is this? To fear God more than anything in life. To know him. To understand him, to have his wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not just wisdom and understanding of God. At the beginning of that, it's also having awe, being in awe and being in tremendous respect of the word of his power. Amen? There's nothing too hard for God. We just sang about that. Amen? There's no one like God. None at all. Listen to this scripture, Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. In other words, be awestruck, just overcome with wonder, like the song was singing just a minute ago. Why? Because the next verse says, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood still. Amen. Listen, not all people on earth, do they fear the Lord? No, that's scripture. One day they will. Amen. Does everyone in the world, all the inhabitants of the world, do they stand in awe of God? No, I'm going to ask you a question with love. Do we really fear? We're going to get to that. But do we really fear the Lord? Do we really stand in awe of God? We should. Listen, he spoke, let there be light, and it was done. Amen. There's no one like our God. Our whole world, the universe that we live in, was spoken into existence out of something that did not exist. Amen? Read Hebrews 11:3 later on. And anyone who says otherwise in this world about how God created it, let me tell you something. Number one, they don't stand in awe of God. And number two, they don't fear God. Number three, they don't believe God. Amen? But we do. The fear of the Lord. Christian, ask yourself, do you fear the Lord? What is God doing right now? What is he doing in this year that we call 2024? This year that we call revolution, with just a few 8 months or whatnot left in this year. I mean, I ask myself, Lord, do I fear you? I want to open my heart. Tell me, Lord, what I need to do. Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the knowledge of God himself, respect to his word, being all of his word, but it's something else. Let me give you the scripture. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride, arrogance, the evil way. God says, and the perverse mouth I hate. Now listen, what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates. Amen? Very, very important. God hates sin. God does not hate people. Amen? Boy, it's very important. No, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Amen? Romans 5:8, God proved or demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. No, God loves his creation. But he hates sin. The Bible says in Malachi, he cannot even look upon sin. He hates it so much he has to turn away. He hates sin, and so should we. We don't hate people. We love people, but we hate what sin does. Proverbs 6:16 says this, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from, or literally turns away or avoids evil or sin. By the fear of the Lord, we say no. We run from it. We depart from it. We turn away from it. Why? Because God hates it. Do we fear the Lord? Are you with me? Okay. Now, if we fear the Lord, then let's look at what Paul said in Romans 12:9, the New Testament. We don't need to turn there. I can read it to you. It says, let us abhor, or literally, let us hate what is evil and cling or glue yourself to what is good. Romans 12:9. Christian, we need to be careful what we cling to in this world. For this world is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen? Listen to this one. Psalm 128:1. Blessed, oh how happy, oh how fortunate to be envied. That's what that word means. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now listen, if you fear the Lord, listen to how blessed you are. Here it comes. It says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you will be happy, and it shall be well with you. Now, we go from your hands to your wife. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Now we move to your children. Your children will be like olive plants all around your table. Olive plants. Isn't that cool? Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I want to ask you a question now. Why are so many families outside of the church, of course, but inside of the church in such a mess today? Could it be that they don't fear the Lord? What is Ephesians 5:21 about marriage? Paul the Apostle writes through the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, submitting, husband and wife, submitting yourselves one to another, how? In the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that both of you fear God. And it's not her will, the wife or the man's will. It's where both of you say, I only want God's will. Amen? And you do marriage God's way. And when you don't do marriage God's way, you do not fear the Lord. Boy, this is very important. The Lord speaking to Judah. It says, you know, after the 70 years in Babylonian captivity, when it says God spoke to them, now he says, when the 70 years are over, okay, this is God says, I'm going to visit you, and listen to what God said he was going to do. Jeremiah 29:12, he says, and then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. Say those two words, find me. Oh, those are two important words, loved one. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I don't know that there is anything more important in this generation right now than finding God. Amen? No, I mean, find the Lord, what do you want to do? I mean, maybe the church, maybe we need to find the fear of the Lord again in our walk, in our lives, in our church, in all that we do. And some of you may be saying, well, Bill, the fear of the Lord, now that's just Old Testament stuff, you know, the fire, the brimstone, and it's not in the New Covenant at all, New Testament, really? Remember when in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, when Peter, when they went out and the Lord told him, said, cast out your boat. Let's go out there. And he says, oh, Lord, we fished all night. There's nothing out there at all. I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. You don't know anything about fishing. And he says, oh, but nevertheless, in other words, I'll do it anyway. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll cast out and I'll let down the net. Well, you know what happened. The boats were there, and all of a sudden they caught so many fish in the net, and trying to pull them in, they had to call for their partners, and then the boat literally started sinking. Y'all remember the story. And what happened in Luke chapter 5, verse 8? Listen carefully. And then when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. In other words, oh, Lord, I fear you. I'm in fear of you right there. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. The fear of the Lord always brings confession. Did you ever notice that? Brings confession. And he says, oh, Lord, he said, I'm a sinful man. Listen, remember what he did? He left the fishing business, all the rest of them, and Jesus said, don't worry. So from now on, you'll become fishers of men, remember? Now, what about something very similar? How about Isaiah? You know, when the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6, they were all crying out with a loud voice, and they were crying out, love, love, love. Okay, mercy, mercy, mercy. Goodness, goodness. No, they didn't know. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Meaning completely holy, totally holy. God is perfectly holy. Amen. And then you know what happened? Isaiah looked up and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train, his robe filled the temple. This kind of glory of God. And that, by the way, that was Jesus, okay, on the throne. Listen to me carefully. And it says, and he said in Isaiah 6:5, so Isaiah said, oh, woe is me. Hey, you look up that word, woe. It's not a good word. He said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm coming unraveled in my entire being. I'm falling apart. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips. I have a polluted mouth. I have a dirty mouth. And I live with a people of unclean lips. For my eyes, listen now, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Did you know that the same person that Isaiah saw high and lifted up is the same person that Peter said, oh, depart from me. John 12:51, read it when you get home. Same one, loved one. Listen, did Isaiah love God? Yes. He loved him with all of his heart. But when something happens, when you have a true vision of who God really is, high and lifted up, when you see him, you fall apart. Does that make sense? And did he fear him? You better believe he feared him. And he said, woe am I. But he, why? He saw his true condition. And when we fear the Lord, we know who he really is. We look at ourselves and know we don't add up very well. Yes, we're saved. Yes, heaven is our home. I know all that. I think we need a fresh vision of Jesus all over again. We need a fresh vision of the throne room of God all over again, just like Isaiah did. Listen, fear and trembling in the church? Well, it should be. Listen, why? Philippians 2:12, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he said this. He says, listen, work out, not work for, work out your own salvation with, wow, fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. You do it. You work it all out yourself. Not work for, you're already saved. Work out what God has already done for you. He says, do it with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God himself. Think about it. God who is working in you to do his will and to do his good pleasure. And then he says something. Do all things without complaining, murmuring, and disputing or arguing. Now, why did Paul do that? Because it's almost like a change of the topic. No, he didn't change it at all. Who would you be murmuring against, complaining against, and arguing with? You would be complaining to the God who is working in you. I don't like the direction I'm going right now. Well, God says, I'm taking you there to do my own will. Are you listening to me? See, we need to say, Lord, I'm working it out with fear and trembling. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to argue with you. You want me to hear? I am going there. I'll do whatever you say. Do you understand me? This is not me, it's the Lord. How about, you say the New Testament again. How about Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2? I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but I'm going to a sermon. I'm not even in my sermon. I remember when Cornelius, the centurion, Peter came and the angel said, go get Peter, and Peter came to the Gentiles, remember? And it says this, it says, and there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion who was of the Italian regiment, here it comes, who was a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household. Paul the Apostle writing to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he says this, for we must all, every one of us, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, amen? Every one of us are going to appear and we're going to receive the things it says done in our body according to what is done, whether it's good or bad. And listen to what he says now, verse 11. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he says, we persuade men. In other words, we win the lost because we know. The terror of the Lord, we know what's going to happen. Do you understand? And so that's all. How about one more? Here, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, and I don't have time to go back and say what they are, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, spirit, perfecting. The word perfecting means to bring something to completion. In other words, to go from glory to glory to glory through your entire life into the image of Christ. Perfecting holiness, how? In the fear of the Lord. When someone fears the Lord, you really want to obey the Lord no matter the cost and no matter the circumstances and even no matter how sometimes crazy it is. Amen? Don't you think it was a little while for Peter, the Lord, to send Peter down to the creek to get a fish with a coin so they could pay their taxes, open up the mouth and get the, come on. You never know what God's going to do. You know, we sing that song, or we used to sing it, or I used to sing it, actually, when I led worship here, not here at the old church at the very beginning. You know, our God is an awesome God. Remember that song? Our God is, okay. But listen, and we use that word today, you're awesome. Man, that was awesome. Or, you know, the Caitlin Clark game. You know, went to see her over there. You know, I didn't either. But anyway, I think it's wonderful, but that's another story. They're saying, that's the most awesome. No. If you're going to use the word awesome, it belongs only to one person, our Father. Our amen. He is the awesome. I'm in awe of the awesome Lord. Listen, I don't know about you, but how can we, the 21st century church, not fear the one who sees everything you do, who hears everything you do, who knows everything you do, everything you say? He knows everything that we do in secret. How can we not fear him? Matter of fact, you know what Jesus said? Let me just read it to you here. What did he say? Here it is. Jesus said, but I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after have no more that they can do. In Luke chapter 12 is where I'm reading from. But I show you whom you should fear. Fear him who has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. From the mouth of our own Savior, loved one. Now, here's where I want you to turn. We're going to be in a couple of places, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9 and also hold that place there and go to in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll be in those places, Hebrews, in a little while. But I want you to look at Acts chapter 9. And when I think about the fear of the Lord, you know, the scripture that I'm going to read to you and that you're going to look at on the printed page, I have read that, I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of times. But this week, as I was actually looking at 1 Peter and starting to kind of, I'm doing my outline on it, you know, even now. And, but the Lord moved on me. And that scripture hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I'm thinking about the end of the year. I'm thinking about, Lord, what are we doing? I mean, are we, what's happening, even in the church, Lord? And I started saying to myself about the fear of the Lord. Is the fear of the Lord the missing ingredient in revolution? Do we really fear the Lord? Do we really worship the Lord when we come in here? I'm not beating you up. I'm talking to you. I'm not saying anything to you that I haven't said to myself. Are you hearing me? Amen. I'm going to look at my text. I'm going to text. I'm going to Facebook or what? Do you think God likes that? No, I'm not beating you up about it. Every the people do it in all the church. But are you letting your kids do that if they're with you in the service? This is a holy place because where two or more are gathered, Jesus is in the midst of them. Do you understand? It's a holy place where, in other words, we probably don't even realize it, but we're quenching the spirit of the living God because we're not really worshiping. We're just talking to our neighbor. We're not really focusing on the Lord who is high and lifted up, who loves us, who sent Jesus to die for us. Do we really fear the Lord? That was my question that I asked myself. Have I forgotten? Look at chapter 9. Look at verse 31 now. Just one verse. Unbelievable. One verse. Why Luke doesn't give us more in that one verse is because I guess the Holy Spirit, of course, prevented him. Absolutely had to. Verse 31. Then the churches, it should be, it's not plural, just church, okay? Then the church throughout all of where? Judea, Galilee, Samaria had what? Had peace. Not only did they have peace, they were edified. And here it is. And walking in the what? The fear of the Lord. And also walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were what? Multiplied. Important word, which I'll talk about later. Now listen very carefully. This one verse is so dynamic. It nearly knocked me over this week when it just hit me. You know how it is sometimes when you're studying the Word of God, it just comes up and hits you, right? And that's what it did. Listen, the early church, did they have peace? No, well, they were in the midst of persecution. It says that now they had peace. Why? Well, if we went back to chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we would realize that after the death of Stephen, when he was martyred, stoned to death, murdered, if you will, then all of a sudden there was a man named Saul, and you know what he did. In Acts 8:3, let me just give you the rundown. It says, for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men, women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. The word made havoc, that verb there, it literally is a picture in the Greek language of a wild animal attacking its prey and then ripping it apart, devouring it. That's exactly what Paul the Apostle was doing. But we know as he was doing that, remember he got letters from the high priest and all of that, and he was going to go put everybody he could in prison. And then in Acts chapter 9, he was on the Damascus Road, and boy, the incredible conversion of Saul to Paul. Amen? Now, after that, all the church, all the Christians in Judea and Galilee, Samaria, they had peace then. But did that peace last very long? No, it was a temporary peace. Now look at the verse 31 again. Then the church, not churches, it's really just singular. Then the church throughout all of Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace. Now, as I've already said, this peace was short-lived because persecution started all over again. But here's what I want you to think about for just a moment. And learn right here. I know that we are 2,000 years removed, of course, from the early church. But Wednesday night, Pastor Marshall said something, and it stayed with me because I'd been praying about it. He said persecution is coming to the Christian church in America. And this time of peace, listen, our peace is eroding away in this nation. Christians are not popular people. Did you know that? Okay. So the early church, they enjoyed they possessed this peace, but it was not complacency. Okay? In other words, they prepared for the next storm, and we better do the same. We better do the same because that peace soon passed, okay? And that peace can come and go, but there's one thing that never changes, and look at the next word there. It says, and they were what? Edified. Edification didn't stop. Matter of fact, being built up, a Christian never stops. It hasn't even stopped now. We're being built up with the Word of God. Amen? We're building ourselves up in our most holy faith, the Bible says in Jude. Loved one, listen, the church is not being built here. It's being built up, speaking the truth in love, edifying ourselves as the body of Christ, it says in Ephesians, in love. But the word literally means here that the church wasn't complacent. The church was progressing, moving forward. And look at it now. What were they doing? And how were they doing it? It says, and walking in the what? The fear of the Lord. Now, we've talked about, we know that we're to walk in love. Amen? We're to walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen? We're to walk in wisdom, the Bible teaches. We're to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh and so forth. But here, have you ever heard anyone say that the church needs to start walking in the fear of the Lord? Walking in the fear of the Lord? And I say, wow, what do you mean by walking, Luke? Because Luke penned Acts. You know what Luke is doing right here? Now listen, that word walk, he is not giving, he's giving a description, okay? It means more than just I'm walking. He's giving us walking as a description, and here's what he is not describing. He is not describing the individual or the lifestyle, of the individual Christian. He is telling us that there in the early church that this is the lifestyle, this is the of all the members of the church, amen? Not just a few people, everyone there. Matter of fact, that word walk literally means go. Jesus used the exact same Greek word in the Great Commission when he said in Matthew 28:19, go therefore, make disciples, all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, it says here, the entire church, all the early church. It says they were all going. They weren't standing still. They were going. Another translation would say it this way, the church going on its way in its present tense. In other words, continually going on, when you say the fear of the Lord, continually going on in the awe of God. Continually going on knowing how incredible God is. How awesome He is. How terrible He is. That's a good word. And they were walking in the fear of the Lord. But listen to me now. All that word, this one verse, says that all of the church was walking in the fear of the Lord. They were all going in the same direction. Does that make sense? That's what we have to do, loved one. We've got to say, okay, it's no longer about me. It's about Jesus who lives in me, amen, and the Word of God. Listen, we have to be able to say that. We're walking in the fear of the Lord, and I want us to be able to say that. Now listen, how in the world do we do that? It's so simple. Look what it says. In the power of somebody else, the Holy Spirit. Look, it says, And walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort, in the strength, he's our standby, he's our strengthener, he's our helper, our divine helper, amen. He's the Spirit of truth. Walking in the comfort. Oh, no one can comfort you like the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? No one. He is here. He lives in you. Walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Vance Havner said this, if the Holy Spirit were to leave all the churches in America, 95% of them could continue on with no interruption of their activity. Do you fear the Lord? If we fear the Lord, I'm going to say some hard things. Now listen to me. If we truly fear the Lord, if we don't fear the Lord, then we better not say, you know what? I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit. Are you following me? No. Have you ever experienced the fear of God? I was a young man, and it was this month, May, and it was the 13th day of May, and I was in a little room in my best friend's house in Florida. I was the best man at his wedding, and they went off on their honeymoon, and he begged me, please stay at my house, and we're going to be gone for 3 or 4 days, and then we'll get together, all of us, and have a great time. I said, okay. So I'm there in that house, and I'm sitting there. I'll never forget it. I can still see it today. It was a very poor home. It was actually his mother's home, and there was golden angels on the wall, you know, those little Cupid things or whatever they are, and I was looking at that, and I went over to the record player, that we called them record players back then, and I pulled out a 33 and a third, vinyl, you know what I'm talking about, and it was the first contemporary Christian song I'd ever heard. I was just a baby Christian. This is a long time ago. And it was, we sang it actually on Easter, because I asked if they would do that. It was by the second chapter of Acts. It was called the Easter Song. And I put that on, and it goes, hear the bells ringing. Remember that song? Man, I was just sitting there kind of rocking. I was going, this is good. You know, and that's when I had long hair, and I, you know, flipping it around a little bit. But the person who dropped me off after the wedding was a photographer, and the whole time he kept saying, hey man, you have the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. And I didn't know what he really meant. He kept going, you have the Holy Spirit? I said, I have the Holy Spirit. Do you really have the Holy Spirit? I wanted to slap him, you know. I said, yes, I have the Holy Spirit. So I put on that song. I'm in the house now. And make a long story short, when the song was over, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, he was acting like I don't have, am I not a Christian? Is there something? Because I was a baby Christian, man. I mean, I didn't know anything, which was good. I hadn't got a bunch of junk in me yet. Do you understand? And I said, Lord, is there something that I need? I mean, he said, do I need something? If whatever I need, if I'm missing it, can I have it? And the fear of the Lord filled that living room. And I fell on my knees. And I was so terrified because I knew someone was there. I knew there was something that was pure and holy in that room with me. And I could not open my eyes. I would not open my eyes. I was so afraid. And then I was baptized instantly in the Holy Spirit, the upper room experience. Loved one, listen, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the endowment of power. We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need to say, Lord, I fear you. I am walking in the fear of the Lord. And what was the result of it? Look at it. What does it say there? And it says, they were what? Multiplied. Now listen, don't get confused here, because a lot of people, a million, I'm going to write a church growth book. Here's what we need to do. It means that many were multiplied, not just disciples, But it means many people, of course, were being saved. But it's just not about numbers. It means this: because they were walking in the fear of God, they were now abounding in the power that they needed. Does that make sense? Well, we need that power. And if when you walk in the fear of the Lord, we need to learn that, man. Listen to King David. He turns into a teacher here in Psalm 34:11. Hold your place. We're going to be back there in a moment. It says, "Come, my children, listen to me," he says, "and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Oh, teach me, David. I want to desire the Lord and nothing else. Teach me right now. And he says, okay, here it comes. He says, "Who is the man?" And you can put your name right there. Who is this? Bill, it's me. "Who is the man who desires life," or quality of life? Do you desire quality of life? I do. Well, and who desires the love of loves many days? "And that he may see good," meaning the opposite of bad times or bad days. Here's what he says to do. You want to learn the fear of the Lord? "Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it." Loved one, listen, did you know that is a choice? That is a decision that we have to make ourselves, and it's found when we say, "I am going to fear the Lord." Yes, David, that's what we want. C.S. Lewis said this: "It seems our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us." Will you allow me to step out on a limb right now? Because I've never taught what I'm teaching you. And this is the first time Becky said others. She said, "Yes, you have, honey." I said, "I don't remember." She said, "You don't remember anything." And I'm not saying I'm right, what I'm about to tell you, but inside of me, I feel I am. And I'll let you decide. I'm going to ask you, say something to you. When we fear the Lord, does the fear of the Lord then go and remain with us? Let me give you a scripture. There, whenever the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, they heard the voice from the mount, the voice of God, and they went to Moses and said, "Oh, please, don't let the Lord speak to us, lest we die. We can't handle it." Now listen to what Moses said, Exodus 20:20. And Moses said to the people, watch this now, or listen, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you. Here comes, that his fear may be before you," or literally in the Hebrew, "remain with you," his fear remain with you like a mirror, if you will, "before your very face, so that you may not sin." What a word is that? Does the fear of God, when the church starts fearing God, that there's something in front of us? Do you see what I'm getting at? I mean, I look and you say, "Bill, are you crazy? Did you eat pizza last night? What's wrong with you?" Hold your place in Acts and turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 25 quickly. Hebrews 12:25. Actually, that's the final warning in Hebrews. It says, "See then," or "ever be seeing to it," meaning the Jewish Christians and of course us as well, every generation, "that you do not refuse him who speaks." Now that means they're talking about Jesus, okay? It says, "For if they," the children of Israel, "if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth," that was back at Mount Sinai, remember when 3,000 people perished, "much more shall we," not just the Jewish Christians of that day, but every generation, "much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice shook the earth," meaning back in the old covenant, "but now," meaning now after the cross, after Christ, death on the cross, "but now he is promised." Does God ever break a promise? No. "He promised, saying, yet once more, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but I'm going to shake heaven." We know that to be the great tribulation period, the second coming of Christ and so forth, this yet future. The only safe place, loved one, for the church to be is in the Lord. Amen? The world is not a safe place. It says, now look at verse 27. Now this, yes, once more, that means it's the last time, it's final. Once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as those things that are made of the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So this present universe that's under the curse of Adam, loved one, it's going to pass away, and we have a new heavens and a new earth coming. Amen? Now, everything's going to be removed. Now, verse 28. Therefore, since everything's going to be removed, we are receiving, not that we will receive, we have it, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have a king that cannot be shaken. Amen? Now listen, I want you to do something. I want you to... I'm not through. There it is. Verse 28. Let us have what? Grace. That means let's express to God our true heartfelt gratitude. We love him. Let us have grace. And by that grace, look what we're able to do, which we may serve God acceptably. How do we serve God acceptably? Well, we know two ways easily. Hebrews 11:6, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, so we know faith. And the other ones is Romans 12:1-2, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? All right, now, but look at it. Serve God acceptably with what? Say it. Reverence and godly. There it is. That means the fear of the Lord. The reverence of God, the awesomeness of God, obeying him, loving him, fearing that we don't want to mess up, pleasing him. For God is, not was, God is a consuming fire. Over in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 10, verse 31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Loved one, now listen. We know God loves us. We know that our sins are forgiven. Amen? We're not to dread the Lord, but we are to love the Lord because he loves us. Amen? But we're not learning to be afraid of God, but we need to learn to return to the awe of God. Where you can say, my God is not going to fail me. I'm not doing that. That's the fear of the Lord. I'm not going there. I'm not living like that. I'm not saying those. I'm not doing it. A.W. Tozer said, I love God Jesus because he's my Savior. I fear him because he is my judge. Or you go back now to Acts chapter 9. And let's bring this home, okay? Acts chapter 9, look at verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, or the church, all Judea, all of Galilee, Samaria, had peace, edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now listen to me. One incredible verse. One incredible verse, but it is contained many incredible truths. There's only 33 words in this one verse, and I have prayed. I prayed. I pondered. I said, oh, God, I don't get it. Listen, I feel even this moment I'm one of the most confused persons in the world because I'm just trying to, Lord, I'm not, but listen to me. I'm going to say something. And I say it with love. I say it because I love the church. And maybe I'm wrong. And I'll let you be the judge if I'm wrong or not. But I look at this verse and I said to myself, the enemy, Satan, the backslidden nation that we live in, the sewer of a city with the vile filth that is happening right this very minute. They do not fear the Lord. Why? Because the church doesn't fear the Lord. Because the salt of the earth doesn't fear the Lord. For the light of the world does not fear the Lord. If the church walks in the fear of the Lord, will the terror of the Lord be upon our enemies? That's why I asked you a moment ago, if we walk in the fear of the Lord and the Lord says, it'll remain with you and I'll go before your face, does that mean, if that's the old covenant, I know, but I mean, love them, we're in a new covenant, a better covenant, based on better promises. Listen, our enemies, listen to what it says in Psalm 115, 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Why? Well, he is your help and your shield. Amen? Exodus 23, 27. I will send fear before you, God says. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and I will make your enemies turn their backs to you. Yes, I know we do not fight against flesh and blood, but the fact of the matter is the devil uses flesh and blood. Do you understand? Oh, listen to this one. Deuteronomy 2:25, God said, I'm giving you this land. He says, and here's what he says. This day I will begin to put the dread and the fear of you upon nations. Matter of fact, it says all the nations under heaven. He says, and they shall hear a report of you, and they will tremble and be anguished because of you. Again, that's old covenant. But man, do we have a better covenant? Yes. The early church walked in the fear of the Lord. And that's where we need to be. One incredible verse. Again, one incredible verse, verse 31, with many incredible truths, if you will. 33 words. One more time, let me say something to you. And I say this with love. And it says the church walking in the Spirit, they were in the comfort of the Spirit, and they were multiplying. God was multiplying it because they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Question. Does the devil desire the souls of men more than the church today? Oh, Bill, you turn into a hard man. No, that's not hard. I'm asking you a question. We're living in the last days. We could be gone any moment. There are people that are going to hell. Do you understand me? The devil desires the souls of men. Does he desire them more than the church? Are we ambassadors of Christ? Yes. Are we to be fishers of men? Yes. Have we been given the ministry of reconciliation? Yes. You don't have to be an evangelist to save people. You just have to be a believer. Then all the church, it says, well, they had peace, edified, walking in the Spirit of the Lord, comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Let me ask you a question, church, on that one verse. If we remove this from this one verse, if we just remove walking in the fear of the Lord, does that mean, will we experience the peace that was spoken of here? Will we speak of the edification that's spoken of here? Will we have that comfort and that multiplication? Loved one, listen to me. The Bible says in Psalm 34:9, one more time, oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. One more verse from the Living Bible. I just cut this out. It says, oh Lord, he says, the enemy is from Isaiah 33. The enemy runs at the sound of your voice. Amen. The enemy runs at the sound of the voice of God. It says, when you stand up, meaning God, oh, the nations, they run. Just as the locusts strip the fields and the vines, so Jerusalem will strip the fallen army of Assyria. Now listen to what he says. Though the Lord is very great and lives in heaven, he will make Jerusalem his home of justice and righteousness. Here it comes. In that day there will be your sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation. Here it is. Wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. I'm going to close with a scripture from Proverbs. Let me read it to you. Proverbs chapter 2. It says, "My son, if you receive my words," and here's that word treasure again, "and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your hearts to understanding." Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Father, I thank you, as I know I was obedient, for this word. I know not, and I don't claim to understand everything that I just said, but I do know one thing. The church of Jesus Christ must bow their knee again to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray that the fear, your fear, even today, it falls upon this church called Calvary Chapel. And Lord, our enemies, whoever they may be, that they run with terror at the sound of your voice. Lord, let our homes be filled with the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. May our homes be built up and edified, O God. May our hearts be built up and edified. Lord, help us. We repent if we have sinned in that way by not looking at our God, our great God, with awe and with unbelievable reverence. Forgive us. Forgive us. And return the fear of the Lord that was in the early church. Pour it out upon us now. We ask it. We believe it. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's